From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. We do have, in fact, a great show for you today. We've got author Elizabeth Gilbert joining us later. You know her for her enormous bestseller, Eat, Pray, Love. Everybody read it, which led to a lot of eating and praying and loving. Well, actually, this being America, everybody ate a lot, and then they got drowsy, and they promised to pray just as soon as they watched this next episode of House of Cards, and then we all fell asleep on the couch. But we tried. It's a lot easier to follow our prescription for a good life, which is give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That translates to 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey there, how's it going? This is Matt Cipriano from New York City.
Matt Cipriano?
That's right.
Well, it's nice to hear from you. Are you in New York, New York, as they say, Manhattan, or where are you?
Manhattan, Midtown.
Oh, hey, that's awesome. Nobody, I thought, listens to our show in New York because nobody has any cars.
We don't, but there's a whole lot of traffic with the UN this week.
Oh, yeah, I bet that's, I mean, is that, I imagine that can be extraordinarily annoying. You can't get anywhere with all the motorcades.
Oh, yeah.
So do you just not leaving your apartment?
I try not to, but unfortunately I can just walk to work.
Oh, dang. Well, welcome to our show. It's great to have you. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, it's a humorist who will be hosting Storytellers on a Mission with Roy Blunt Jr. at the Flynn Theater in Burlington, Vermont on November 1st. I mean, it's Tom Baudet.
Hello, Matt.
Next, it's a reporter and blogger for the Houston Chronicle. It's Ms. Kiri O'Connor. And lastly, we're joined again by writer and comedian Shelby Farrow is here. So, Matt, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Bill This Time. Bill Curtis will recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. I bet you know the rules. They are, if you correctly identify two of them, then you win our prize. That is the voice of scorekeeper emeritus Carl Castle on your voicemail. You ready to go?
Absolutely.
All right. Here's your first quote.
They're the coalition of the sort of willing.
That was a reporter for the Shreveport Times talking about the coalition of Arab nations that joined the U.S., to fight ISIS where this week?
Is it Syria?
It is Syria, yes. Very good. First of all, congratulations to those of you who have Syria in the Who We Gonna Bomb Bingo in that space. President Obama ordered the airstrikes this week on ISIS targets there right after turning his Nobel Peace Prize to the wall, so the face on it would stop staring at him like that. The president promises there will be no, quote, boots on the ground in this new war. We assume this means that when we inevitably have to send in troops, they'll be wearing more sensible shoes. Given Obama is a Democrat, it'll probably be Birkenstocks. So another war. You guys think this one's going to work out?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
What could go wrong?
Nothing I can think of.
I mean, have we ever lost a war?
No, not really.
We even won the one against ourselves. Kind of.
Yeah, sure. I think we get credit for that. I mean, the Civil War?
Yeah.
Yeah.
America won.
America, yeah, you know, yeah.
Well, I mean, you haven't seen the Axis of Evil around lately, have
That's
you?
That's true.
That's right.
We got, what is it now, the Network of Death, isn't that? Right. That's what Obama called.
He called them a Network of Death.
This is you know, and I always thought that was AOL.
Yeah.
That's the network of the dying.
Right.
Timely AOL. So,
maybe we won't bomb them back to the Stone Age. We'll just get them back to, like, dial-up.
Yeah. One of the big surprises of this new war was that in addition to bombing ISIS, which we knew we were going to do, we were told, bomb somebody that none of us have ever heard of before. That is the Khorasan Group. The Khorasan Group. People are like, what? We bombed a hedge fund? That's great. Finally, a war. Everybody can get behind. All right, Matt, you still with us?
Absolutely.
All right. You can't leave your apartment. The UN is like, blocked the streets. You're stuck with us.
Got the doors boarded up.
Yeah. Matt, your next quote is a headline from the Washington Examiner.
The White House will now lock the front door.
That extreme security protocol has been enacted because of what that happened last Friday?
The guy who jumped the fence with a tomahawk and walked in the front door?
Yes. He actually didn't have the tomahawk with him, but I will give you the point. Yes, that's true. He had a tomahawk earlier. If he had a tomahawk, they would have stopped him. Since he didn't apparently have a tomahawk, they let him walk in, I guess. You know those movies White House Down and Olympus mm-hmm. Has Fallen that came out that have these elaborate plots about attackers getting into the White House? Turns out, nope, all you have to do is jump the fence, run across the lawn, walk right in. That's what happened. That's what this guy did. Well, how did he do this? How did he manage to evade all the security? First, he tossed a steak over the fence to distract the dogs, and then he threw over some Colombian prostitutes to distract the Secret Service. Like, come on, over you go, Carmen. One of the things we found out is that this guy was unusual because he got through the front door, but there are people, I think 60 is the number of people who during Obama's presidency have jumped over the fence onto the White House grounds trying to get to the president. One of them, of course, was Mitt Romney, because he was like, I've tried everything else. Just let me go in for a second, he said.
I mean, have you ever tried to hop a fence? It's like decently hard.
Yeah, and that one outside the way is tall.
Well, did you see that they've built a second fence now?
They have, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like this little tiny, it's like a baby gate.
Did they build a smaller fence
of those 60
outside?
People, 54 were babies.
Wow.
Matt, you're doing very well. Your last quote is from ESPN's Rick Riley.
He says he's going to settle down and have a family. Him settling down, that's like an eagle deciding to take the bus.
Riley was waxing somewhat sticky about a sports hero who was playing his last baseball game before retiring this weekend. Who is it?
Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter, yeah. Very good. This is Derek Jeter's 20th and last season for the New York Yankees. It is a remarkable achievement. It is hard to be that evil for that long. As I'm sure you know, you're a New Yorker. Jeter has been on a farewell tour all season long. Every time the Yankees go on the road the last 3 months, teams have been giving Jeter presents. For example, the Baltimore Orioles gave him crabs from the Chesapeake Bay. The Minnesota Twins, trying to beat that, gave Jeter chlamydia.
I'm sorry, thoughtful. I don't know baseball. Were the Twins just two twins?
Yeah, basically. It's hard to hate him. That's the problem. And I say this as a Red Sox fan who hates the Yankees. He's had no major scandals. He doesn't show up in the tabloids. He seems like a genuine guy. But despite all that, we will do what Derek Jeter would have done in our place. Apply ourselves, put our heads down, do the work, and hate him anyway. Bill, how did Matt do in our quiz?
Matt was perfect. 3-0.
Well done. Congratulations, Matt. Thanks for playing.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
How do I say goodbye to what we had? The good time.
We want to remind everybody they can join us most weeks here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, or you can find a link at our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Shelby, you've heard of the hookup app Tinder, right?
Sure.
There's also Grindr for the men. Mm-hmm. Old ladies have Spinster. There's a new app that connects people who just want to do what?
Have lunch? Like, hang out? Well, it's one way or the other with this.
I'll give you a hint. It's like, oh, look, Big Spoon 33 wants to connect with Little Spoon.
Oh, Cuddle.
Yes. The app is called Cuddler.
Ugh.
C-U-D-D-L-R, without the Cuddler. It has two functions. It connects you to people in your vicinity with whom you can share a platonic, non-sexual cuddle. And it gives you a new way to experience sexual frustration with a stranger.
Peter, I think you've got it wrong. Maybe I just say this as a woman, but I think you actually have sex with somebody, and then you find somebody else who actually wants to cuddle.
Oh, so it's like a Tinder add-on.
It's like after.
Really? So after you've hooked up with your person you found on Tinder or Grindr, you pull out Cuddler to find somebody who's willing to cuddle with you?
Yeah.
And then there's Lighter if you want a cigarette.
You know the Grindr guy's gone.
Yeah.
See, that's so much.
What is Grindr? I made a joke about something. I really had no idea what I said.
Grindr is an app that men use, gay men use to find each other.
Yep. And Tinder. I'm glad
is,
I asked.
Tinder is the.
Well, actually, if you're in Connecticut, it helps you find a submarine sandwich.
How does this work? I mean, all right, you're like, oh wow, I found you on Cuddler, and you want to go cuddle. Let us cuddle. How do you know when you're done cuddling? Is that a male question to ask?
Well, that's the thing.
And what do you do after you cuddle?
Who? Get a sandwich.
I mean, I have no idea.
Tom's like, why are you looking at me?
I can only picture just both people lying there, eyes open, pretending to be relaxed, just like waiting to get to leave.
Well, eventually somebody has to pee.
Cuddle up a little closer, lovey mine. Cuddle up and be mine.
The free Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me podcast is supported by Citrix ShareFile. They're an easy-to-use business solution that allows you to exchange files quickly and securely. With ShareFile, you can send files of almost any size without bounce backs. Files are encrypted for confidentiality and remain under your complete control. Delete them, send them again, move them around in an amusing way. For a special 30-day free trial, go to ShareFile.com today, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and enter WAIT, W-A-I-T. That's ShareFile.com, enter WAIT. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting the people who support us.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Shelby Farrow, Tom Baudet, and Kiri O'Connor. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Chris from Bainbridge Island, Washington.
Oh, Bainbridge Island, right there across the sound from Seattle, right?
Exactly.
It's a great. We were just there. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, I had a coworker went and attended the taping last week.
And how did they enjoy it?
They enjoyed it a lot.
Well, why didn't you go?
There's no good answer to that.
No, there really isn't. Well, welcome to the show, Chris. It's great to have you. You're going to play our game in which you must tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Chris's topic?
Move over, Jeff Bezos.
Thanks to Amazon, you can order Pop-Tarts online and have them in your mouth within 4 minutes. This week we read, though, about a new home delivery service we didn't know anybody wanted. Guess the true story of an unusual door-to-door service, and you'll win Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. First, let's hear from Tom Baudet.
Have you ever plowed through your in-flight meal and wondered how you could get airline food delivered right to your home? Well, a lot more people have than you might think. At least that's what Air Food One is banking their business on. In spite of being the only place most Americans have seen a biscotti, airline meals are famous for unoriginal, tasteless fare accompanied by exploding salad dressing packets and a half a can of Sprite. And now, for about $12, people who enjoy this kind of thing can have it brought to their front door, or the front door of someone they love. Are your aging parents complaining about the Meals on Wheels service you arranged? Give them a change of pace with Lufthansa Lasagna or Chicken Jet Blue. A week of that may grow new appreciation for Meatloaf Wednesdays and canned peaches. Air Food One and their partners say this is a good second market for food that would normally be thrown out. For now, because of their famously discerning palates, think boiled meat and cabbage, the service is only available for people living in Germany. The British are anxiously awaiting their turn.
Airline food delivered to your door without the trouble of getting on an airplane. Your next story of an unusual delivery comes from Shelby Farrow.
It's a bird. It's a bird carrying another bird? Yes, it's true. A new pet home delivery service has been unleashed by the Pets in Need shelter of Calgary, Canada, where your new pet will be delivered by one of the shelter's other resident animals. For the next few months, families can pick their new pet online and then put their feet up and relax as one of the shelter's furrier employees makes the delivery. It's sort of like when the stork delivers a baby, but instead it's a Labrador toting a satchel full of parakeets. We definitely hit a few snags at first, remarked shelter owner Glenn Horton, especially before we started putting the animals to be delivered into some sort of box or container. Sending the first few deliveries loose leaf was a bit of a mistake. Turns out a hamster can't balance on the shell of a tortoise for very long. And then there was the Tweety Bird incident. Let's just say we keep the feline and aviary delivery separate now. But have you ever seen a miniature horse successfully deliver a family's new iguana? Warms the heart.
Pets delivered by other pets. Your last story of an unwanted package comes from Kiri O'Connor.
Heather Alexander of Austin, Texas, was waiting for a special delivery, and when a Tiffany blue van pulled into her driveway, she was pretty excited. Printed discreetly on the side of the van was the name Lou for You. I've been looking forward to this like crazy, she said. She tore open the box and lifted out a scrolled leather container. There it was, her artisanal toilet paper. Lou for You delivers the ne plus ultra of butt wipes. Made of handcrafted paper embedded with the fur of Angora cats, the sheets, nothing so rude as a roll, aren't just embossed with quilt-like patterns. They're literally quilted by a small army of Amish grandmothers. They feel like gossamer and wear like iron, says Heather. Oh, and a tailor comes and measures you. The fledgling company has taken off like a spicy meal, flush with success.
All right.
There is a knock on your door, and one of these things might be waiting outside. Is it from Tom Baudet, a delivery of genuine airline food? From Shelby Farrow, a pet being delivered to you at your request by another, presumably larger pet? Or from Kiri O'Connor, bespoke artisanal toilet paper? Which of these is the real story of a delivery service we didn't know anybody needed?
Well, I think all of them sound extremely unlikely. But I'm going to go with Tom's story about the airline food.
You're going to go Tom's story about the airline food? Does that sound compelling to you?
No, but...
All right, then. We spoke to somebody familiar with the true story.
It allows people to order exactly the same food served on airline flights and have it delivered to their house and ready to be thrown in the oven.
That was Jessica Plautz from Mashable.com talking about Air Food One, the delivery service that brings airline food to people now in Germany that will probably spread to the United States unless we stop them. Congratulations. You got it right, Chris. You obviously earned a point for Tom because he told the truth, but more importantly, you've won our prize, Carl Castle's voice in your voicemail. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Thank you, Chris, so much for playing.
Thank you.
And now the game where we take people who have accomplished big things and ask them to do a very little thing, i.e. play our game, not my job. Elizabeth Gilbert was a successful magazine writer in New York when she went through a life crisis and decided to travel. When she got back, her book Eat, Pray, Love became one of the biggest bestsellers of the last decade, along with its sequel, Committed. She has a new novel out called The Signature of All Things. She joins us now. Liz Gilbert, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So there might be one or two people out there listening who neither read Eat, Pray, Love nor saw the film with Julia Roberts. So could you describe it briefly for them?
There might be one or two men
yes.
out there. Yeah, to be very specific.
Who were afraid to admit it to their significant
other. My wife and I sat in the warm morning sun feeding each other grapes and read it to each other. Now, I'm sitting between two women. I can't speak freely.
Well, so this is, you, as I said, you were going through a life crisis. Your marriage ended. It was not going well. You said, I'm hitting the road. You went to Italy and then Indonesia and India. So,
yeah.
And then you wrote a book about these, about the lessons that you learned. Am I summarizing it correctly?
Yeah, you just did it beautifully.
Thank you.
Yeah, I ate my way through India and... actually, ate my way through Italy. What am I saying?
I was about to say,
India.
You haven't read the book, have you?
I haven't actually. I did it all in upstate New York. I was just hoping I wouldn't get busted.
And this, didn't you sort of create a movement of women finding themselves?
I hope so. That wouldn't be such a terrible movement to be responsible for. I certainly didn't set out to do that. My first books, by point of comparison, sold upwards of dozens of copies each. Yeah. So I was not in any way prepared for that kind of a response, but I'm so surprised by it, but delighted by it.
Are there women or anybody who had negative experiences? Like, yeah, I tried to follow in your footsteps. I went to Italy. I got food poisoning, drugged, woke up with one kidney. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, but the kidney they woke up with was on their plate. It was actually their meal.
Oh, yeah. That's even better. Yeah. So one of the things that's happened, and this was probably something you didn't expect when you were a working magazine writer, is that you've become kind of a self-help figure. You just did a tour with Oprah, right?
Yeah, I'm actually on tour with her right now. Well, not right this very
minute. Is she there?
Is she there? Is she there?
Oprah, could you put her on?
Hang on a second. Come in, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Yes, that's been an amazing thing. That's sort of like getting a phone call from the president.
It's better than that.
Yeah.
President has to call people. Oprah chooses. What is it like being part of like an Oprah revival meeting?
I have to say it's amazing. Being around her is really remarkable. She's a great person, but she's also a good person, and I don't think that's often always necessarily the case. I'm going to be delicate and not name names.
If I told you that I am almost certain, because we've asked, that she does not listen to this show, would you revise any of your opinions about Oprah Forrest at this point?
I wouldn't. I feel so earnestly respectful of her that I can't even make funny jokes about it. Isn't that terrible?
For my purposes, it's awful.
I know.
Thanks a lot. let's leave Oprah alone then and ask you about yourself. Because you obviously wrote this book, and of course because it was a big bestseller or because it was wonderful, they made a movie out of it with Julia Roberts playing you, and if I'm not mistaken, Javier Bardem playing the man who ultimately is now your husband. Is that right?
Yeah, we look like that, so it works out really well.
Is it? I mean, these are two very attractive people. Is it weird to just sit in a movie theater, presumably a nice one with nice clothes on because it's the premiere, and you're sitting there with your husband and you're watching yourselves being played by Julia Roberts and Javier Bardem, and do you look at each other and start looking each other up and down and going, wait a minute, I kind of got the short end of the stick here.
Can I have my avatar, please?
Exactly.
it's interesting that you mentioned watching it in a movie theater with your clothes on. It's probably more fun to watch it at home with your clothes off and just pretend you actually are them.
Really? Do we just find out more about your marriage than ever I wanted to know?
I'm a memoirist, Peter. It's all going to come out eventually.
I know. Does your husband say, tell me about being in Pretty Woman? Tell me.
Leave the cattle gun at home.
Yes.
Do you then have to foreplay through the eat and the pray?
No, we just put it on 16 times fast forward.
One problem you have is not only did you write this book about Eat, Pray, Love, about eventually meeting your husband, you then wrote a second book about marriage, about being married to him. And don't you have an obligation to stay married and happy despite whatever other urge might come upon you in the course of a fight over how to load the dishwasher?
Yeah, we have a contract.
Do you? What is that contract?
It came with the book deal. I'm totally kidding, but I love the terrible silence that followed that.
We were talking to Rick Steves last week, the travel guru, about whether or not places he recommended got overrun. And I'm wondering if the same thing applies to you. You write about specific places and things you did in Italy and Indonesia and India. And are those places now being overwhelmed by women in their early 30s who are trying to replicate your experience? Where's my Javier Bardem, they shout.
Well, that's really funny because my husband lived in Bali for a long time and he still lived there for a while when we were together after the book was written. And every once in a while he would run into some woman there and she'd say she was there because of Eat, Pray, Love. And that she was looking for a Brazilian man. And he would just say, why don't you just go to Brazil? That's where most of them are.
I've heard. Well, Elizabeth Gilbert, so much fun to talk to you. But we have asked you here to play a game we're calling
I Refuse to Eat, Pray, or Love.
So you wrote Eat, Pray, Love. Naturally, we're going to ask you three questions about dieting, blasphemy, and hate.
That's the name of my next memoir.
You see? Answer two of these three questions correctly, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle, his voice on their voicemail. You ready to play?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, Bill, who is Liz Gilbert playing for?
Bud Kluwek of La Mesa, California.
All right. Bud is waiting on you. Here we go. We're going to start. We're going to start with dieting, or starve, if you will. When it comes to dieting, Atkins and Paleo get all the press, but in 2010, a Kansas State nutrition professor lost 27 pounds by eating nothing but what? A, Twinkies, B, diet books, and by that I mean the actual books, or C, airline peanuts.
Wow. Do I get to know how many days he was on this diet?
He was on this diet for 10 weeks and lost 27 pounds.
For 10 weeks. Okay, I don't think you can live on diet books for 10 weeks. I think you could do well with airline peanuts. But when I listen to this show, I always want people to guess the most fun answer. So I'm going to say Twinkies.
In fact, it was Twinkies, yes.
Awesome.
He was trying to prove a point. Doesn't matter what you eat as long as you eat less calories. He ate one Twinkie every 3 hours. And also some Little Debbie snack cakes for a variety. Despite the success of the diet, he says, I'm not geared to say this is a good thing to do. All right, that's good. That was starve. Next up, blasphemy. One way you can avoid blaspheming is with what linguists call a minced oath. You know, like gosh, darn, instead of its blasphemous alternative. Here is another thing that you can say rather than, you know, invoke the Almighty in an unpleasant way.
Okay.
And this used to be, you used to say this, but it's fallen out of practice. A, well, Dad, sizzle it. B, great Wertheimer's majesty. Or C, Jesus's favorite sweater vest.
I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B, which was great Wertheimer's majesty?
Yes.
Bless you.
No, I'm not.
No.
I know that tone from you, Peter. I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, Dad Sizzle?
Dad Sizzle it. Yes.
You're right. My tone gave me away. Although people used to be able to say Dad Sizzle it. I, however, am going to say Great Wertheimer's Majesty whenever I hit my thumb with a hammer. All right. Lastly, we've done starve, we've done blaspheme, now hate. We found an example of a true hate story for the ages. Is it A, a brother and sister who haven't spoken in 73 years because she ate his donut? B, the last two Jews left in Kabul, Afghanistan, who each had a synagogue just so they could keep the other guy out of it? Or C, a guy who goes to every single game played by the San Diego Padres for the last 8 years, home and away, just so he can boo one player?
Wow. I'm going with C because I think sports hatred is a deeper kind of hatred than any other human hatred there is.
It is a deep hatred, but not as much as the hatred felt by the last two Jews of Afghanistan.
No!
It's true. They absolutely hated each other, and they stayed in two different synagogues, and they refused to go into the others. And they ended up living in the same building, but they still wouldn't talk to each other until one of them
died.
That's
beautiful.
Isn't it great?
My husband's mother didn't talk to her brother for the rest of her life at the age of 30 because he insulted her cucumber salad. So I almost went with the first one, but
wait a minute.
Far better.
You're saying your husband's mother didn't talk to her brother because he insulted...
Ever again.
Because he insulted...
And not only that, their descendants won't speak to each other.
What did he say about the cucumber salad?
Do you want to know? I can tell you.
Please.
He picked up a piece of cucumber and he said, my doctor says there's no nutrition in this, that you might as well just throw it out a window.
And that's it?
That's it?
That seemed
that's
more directed at the cucumber.
Bill, how did Liz Gilbert do in our quiz?
Well, she ate Twinkies and prayed for Dad Sizzle It and got 2 out of 3.
Well
That's
done,
a winner.
Liz. Yes, very good. Elizabeth Gilbert is a New York Times bestselling author. Her latest novel, The Signature of All Things, is out in paperback now, and it is fantastic. Elizabeth Gilbert, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What fun to talk to you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
When you own a small business, you're the boss, but it also means you have to do everything, like stand in line at the post office behind people with their huge packages and passport applications. Now, there's a good use of your time. There is a better way, Stamps.com. Stamps.com lets you buy and print real U.S. postage right from your desk using your own computer and printer. It is super easy. Check out Stamps.com for a no-risk trial and free postage offer. Click on the microphone on the homepage and enter WAIT. That's WAIT. Stamps.com, enter WAIT, and thanks for supporting one of our supporters.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Kerry O'Connor, Shelby Farrow, and Tom Baudet. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks so much. In just a minute, Bill brings his A game and also his AABBA game. Pretty clever, guys. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Kiri, in an effort to encourage physical fitness, parks in Moscow have installed park benches that do what?
Parks that... I need a hint.
Well, you sit on the bench and something happens. You learn something.
You sit on the bench and you it weighs you.
Yes. The park benches weigh you. From now on, when you sit down on a park bench in Moscow, you will see your weight prominently displayed in large numbers on a panel. This is to encourage gym membership and prevent you from ever daring to go outside again. The idea was imported from the Netherlands, where they've been doing this. Russians everywhere said, so, we could have had their human rights and social welfare programs, but no, you guys brought the hate benches. Thanks, Putin.
That's the worst idea ever.
Isn't it the worst idea?
That would keep me from never sitting down again.
Right.
Puts a lot of pressure on Muscovites, though. Now they have to get in shape for bench season.
One time I went to a pharmacy, I forget what I was getting a prescription or something, and the pharmacist said, so, how old are you? And then he said, and how much do you weigh?
Were they helping you or were they just curious?
No, this is...
We have a bet back here. We have a little pool. We started it when you walked in the store. If you're
lying.
Over 140, I get a beer. So what is it? Tom, a Pizza Hut in Australia pushed the art of marketing one step further when they offered customers last week a free what if they bought 10 pizzas?
A pizza.
Yeah, free pizza. No, that's not, no. But everybody does that. You buy 10 pizzas, you get
one
free.
So this is Australia. Yeah. Oh, God, it's probably not. I need a hint.
You get this for free, but the little exercise wheel costs extra.
Oh, my God, you get a free hamster?
Yeah, a hamster, or if you prefer.
I mean, aren't they free anyway?
Yeah.
I mean, they just show up, right? They show up with your third grader one day, and it's just like, oh, there's a hamster in the house.
Well, you have to get the third grader
I should clarify that the hamster does not come on the pizza. You don't eat it. This is not Taco Bell, okay? The store, the Pizza Hut, this one store in Australia, said that with the purchase of 10 pizzas, customers would get, quote, one small pet from a nearby pet store right there in the same mall, I guess. It's a great cross-promotion because when you think food safety, you think lots of loose rodents running around. The idea was met with outrage by local animal activists, and the restaurant soon apologized and canceled the promotion. The animal activists thought they'd scored a victory, but when the next pizza they ordered had wee tiny pepperoni.
It's like a really twisted version of the Happy Meal. You know, it's like if there's something rustling around in your Happy Meal bag.
They just said one small pet.
One small animal.
So it could be anything.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be hamster. It could have been a gerbil, lizard, snake, anything you want
like
in your pizza.
Fish.
Actual live anchovy.
Oh, flop, 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 flop. That's my imitation of a live anchovy pizza.
I've never seen you do that before.
I know.
That was amazing.
Domino's says, we'll get it to you with the anchovy still alive or it's free. Kiri, a Chinese noodle shop owner, admitted this week to putting what in his noodles to keep his customers coming back for more.
Oh, my. It's not a live anchovy.
No.
Um,
It was almost as if they were addicted to his noodles.
Some form of drug.
Yes, opium specifically.
Oh.
The noodle chef was trying to one-up his competitors, so he laced his noodles with heroin. Technically opium poppy seeds.
He could have just put a tapeworm in there.
Could have done it.
All right, both bad ideas.
Yes. Authorities have fined him and are threatening to take away his noodle license.
Oh, they're threatening. This is your first warning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Noodle cops are after him.
I imagine the Yelp reviews of this place were just off the charts great. It's like, so good, I cannot stop eating these noodles. I am going to strip abandoned buildings for copper so I can get more of these noodles.
They deliver them in a brick of ramen.
Yeah.
That's not even like a light drug.
No.
Like that's a
pretty
serious drug.
People who get addicted to the noodles have to go to like spaghetti clinics to get off of it.
And then they just meet other fettuccine dealers and it's a whole thing. Yeah. It's a broken system.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where, of course, you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play any of our games on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, which is waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows right here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming shows in Pittsburgh on October 16th and Austin, Texas on November 6th. And be sure to check out How to Do Everything, our sister podcast. This week, Ian and Mike tell you how to keep your best boy straight from your gaffer. Is that a Grindr thing? I don't know what that is.
Peter, that's a Hollywood thing.
Sorry. Anyway, hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Whitney Graham from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia, what do you do there?
I'm a trial attorney.
Oh, I see. You sound like a fictional character in a new 10 p.m. drama. Whitney Graham, Philadelphia trial attorney. I'm told the trials are not nearly... I haven't been in many, thank goodness. But so far, I'm told that they're not nearly as interesting as they appear to be on TV, where it's real exaggerated for theatrical effect. Is that the case?
I would say that's true. And on TV, they're usually only an hour long.
You're saying in real life they grind on for days?
Yes, wow. They can.
Well, Whitney, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is now going to perform for you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks will be a big winner. Are you ready to try this?
I'm ready.
Here's your first limerick.
When I chew or I talk or I grin, there's a charger my motions will spin. With every small bite, I turn on a light. I power my home with my...
chin?
Yes, indeed! A group of Canadian researchers have designed a chin strap that turns the motion of chewing into energy, which we can use to power our cars to go get more food. It's a perfect system. The more you eat, the more energy you create. It takes advantage of the one kind of physical activity we still do.
Yeah, you know, the more they think about that, you know, like my late Aunt Marie could have lit up Little Rock.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here is your next limerick.
Our offices look Kafkaesque, like rodents in cages. Grotesque. I'm running in place, taking notes while I race. A hamster wheel's looped round my...
desk.
Yes, desk. Do you want to stay fit and drive home the meaningless of your existence at the same time? Try the new human hamster wheel desk. It's designed by two San Francisco inventors who gave shape to their self-loathing by creating a giant hamster wheel you run on while working. And you say, well, great, but how do I get off it to go use the restroom or something? No worries. It comes with a space underneath to put old newspapers and sawdust.
Also, what about when they accidentally go down the stairs?
I mean, I don't think it's actually one of those big plastic balls.
Oh, the balls, yeah.
That would be
No, that would be
hilarious.
Great. That would be great.
You know, you're in your office and these enormous plastic hamster balls with accountants inside them coming by. Hey, Bob. Bonk. Yeah.
That's a great idea, though.
Here is your last limerick.
It's crazy how quickly he'll dump me. I'm not moody, it's just that he's jumpy. Unlike what you hear, throughout the whole year, there's only 10 days that I'm...
Can I get a hint?
Well, it rhymes. It rhymes with dump me, jumpy, not moody. How about, should I just give it to you?
Sure.
It's grumpy.
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 Thank you.
A new British health survey has found the average woman spends 10 days of every year being grumpy. And if you'd like that number to stay at 10, do not act surprised by how few days that seems. The number was 9 until somebody started going up to women and asking them to participate in yet another British health survey. Bill, how did Whitney do in our quiz?
Well, Whitney is never grumpy. That's why she missed that third, but she got 2 out of 3, and that's a win.
Well done, Whitney.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
I sing a grouchy song, it makes me feel so black. I sing it all day long till I feel completely yak. I sing a grouchy song, it makes me feel so bad that when I sing my grouchy song, I'm glad.
All right, it's time for our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. You know how this works. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Tom and Kerry have 3. Shelby has 2.
Okay, Shelby, you're in third place, so you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. On Thursday, Eric Holder announced that he would be resigning his position as blank.
Attorney General?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johns joined Home Depot and Target as the latest company to be targeted by blank.
PETA?
No, hackers.
Oh.
Rival factions Hamas and Fatah agreed on Thursday to let the Palestinian National Authority take control of blank.
Shoot. The water parks.
The water parks. No, Gaza. Police in England are searching for a driver. They say blank before speeding through a red light.
Fell asleep.
No, rolled down his window and stole a pizza from a man waiting at a bus stop.
Whoa!
After issuing 45 million additional shares, the IPO for Chinese e-commerce giant blank raised a total of $25 billion.
Oh, it's not Alibaba.
It is Alibaba.
Nice.
NASA announced that after a 10-month journey, the Maven spacecraft entered the orbit of blank.
Oh, man, it's not Mars.
It is Mars.
Yeah.
You are confident.
Yeah.
In Australia, a family's lovely camping vacation was interrupted when it was invaded by a wild pig that blanked.
It, their food.
No, it drank 18 of their beers and got into a fight with a cow.
What?
The wild pig stole 18 beers from a cooler and then drunkenly wandered into a nearby field. No one's sure what happened next, but there was a cow. Cow didn't like the pig's attitude.
What was the
pig
cow
pig talked
wearing?
Back. After a brief scuffle, the cow chased the pig out of the campsite, where it eventually passed out in a pile of its own filth, or as pigs like to call it, home. Bill, how did Shelby do in our quiz?
Well, she got 3 right. That gives her 6 more points. She now has 8.
Ooh.
And that's the lead.
Well done, Shelby.
Yeah, it is. Show's over.
We have flipped a coin, and Tom has elected to go last. So, Kiri, you're up next.
All right.
On Wednesday, a federal judge in Massachusetts denied requests to move the trial of the blank bomber.
The marathon bomber.
Right. This week, the police chief of Ferguson, Missouri, posted a video apologizing to the family of blank.
Michael Brown.
Right. Heirs to the Rockefeller fortune announced Monday that they would no longer be investing in companies that sell blank.
Fossil fuel.
Right. A newscaster in India has been fired after pronouncing Chinese President Xi Jinping's name, that's spelled X-I Jinping, as blank.
Oh, X-I.
No, he pronounced it as 11 Jinping.
Oh!
That's an honest mistake.
That's kind of good.
That's kind of cool. A grand jury ruled there was no evidence to justify criminal charges against race car driver blank.
Oh, the guy who hit the other guy.
That would be the guy.
Oh, the last name is Stewart.
Yes, Tony Stewart. A reporter at the scene of a clothing shop robbery in Chicago tried unsuccessfully to blank.
To apprehend the...
No, she tried to interview a mannequin. The
oh!
reporter was filming in front of the clothing store when she attempted to interview what she thought was the manager, who was standing inside the store with his back turned, silent, still, aloof. He didn't offer any comment, partly because he was camera shy, but mostly because he was a mannequin. Bill, how did Kiri do in our quiz?
Well, Kiri got 4 right. Ooh. For 8 more points. You have the lead at 11 points, Kiri.
All right. Ooh. And how many, then, does Tom need to win this thing?
4 to tie, 5 to win.
Here we go, Tom. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. Around 400,000 people marched on the streets of New York this week to raise awareness of blank.
Climate change.
Right. Walmart announced that by the end of October, they'd be offering their customers blank.
Banking.
Yes, checking accounts. After Hamid Karzai stepped down, the rival presidential candidates agreed to form a unity government in blank.
Afghanistan.
Right. This week, Iraqi intelligence reportedly uncovered an ISIS plot to attack blanks on the U.S. and Paris.
Subways.
Yes. A man in Connecticut was arrested after he stole a car and used it to blank.
He used it to drive to a police meeting, like a parole meeting.
Yeah, probation meeting. Very yeah. good. ESPN suspended reporter Bill Simmons for his criticism of blank.
Was it the football commissioner?
Yeah, Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
A TV reporter in Alaska finished up a report on a local cannabis club by blanking.
I love that state. I miss that place. She basically told everybody to F off and said she was going to fight for legalized pot.
Yeah, more or less. Said she was the owner of the club. She swore and quit. Police in the UK are warning people to increase their home security by going into their homes and blanking.
Securing them.
No. By going into their homes and leaving balloons that say, "I could have been a burglar." What? In order to teach students in Yorkshire the importance of always locking their doors and windows, police in the area have been breaking into unlocked homes and leaving bunches of helium balloons behind. It's a clever and effective way to teach people that, if they don't take the time to secure their home, someone might break in and creep them the hell out. Bill, did Tom do well enough to win? I think he did pretty well.
He did great. He got 7 right. 14 more points. He's 17 and winner.
Congratulations, Tom. Dominant performance. A dominant performance.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists, now that they're locking the door, how will the next intruder gain access to the White House? Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions' Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Kelsey Harder, Better, Faster, Strongerson. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Les Dolarchik of Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Miles Dernboss. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our CFO is Andy N. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, how will people gain access to the White House next? Kiri O'Connor.
Well, it's almost Halloween, so I'm thinking a guy in a Joe Biden mask.
So, Joe Biden?
Shelby Farrow.
I think you mean intruders. It's going to be 3 kids on top of each other in a trench coat with a mustache. They're going to walk right in. It's not hard.
Tom Baudet.
Well, they'll get in the way most of them do. They'll win Ohio and Florida.
Well, if any of those things happen, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Kiri O'Connor, Shelby Farrow, and Tom Baudet. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal. We will see you next week. This is NPR.